welcome to Charity Corner. I'm Rachel Goodfellow, the founder of the Hidden Needs Trust, a charity that creates awareness and raises funds to help support Dorset and Somerset special educational needs children and their families. Through my work, I've been introduced to a wide range of small charities, all supporting local causes. And so, as usual in this regular monthly programme, I'm out and about finding out what local charities and good causes are up to, visiting a few key people and trying to see at first hand how their hard work benefits others in the community. This month, I'm thrilled to have in the studio Mark Watson. Mark works tirelessly to promote what carers do, issues they face, and what help is greatly needed to support them. Mark, welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome. Now, first of all, you yourself are a carer.
Yeah, full-time, unpaid.
Full-time,
for my wife.
Unpaid for your wife. Okay, do you want to expand a bit more on that?
My wife became seriously ill in excess of 10 years ago.
Right.
Through a blastoma cancer, and she's inoperable, so she spends most of her time on morphine or, you know, heavily medicated, unfortunately, and that's the way it is.
Yeah. And you, obviously, full-time male carer.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what is day-to-day life in general? Because you've got children as well, haven't you?
Yeah, we've got 7 children and 3 grandchildren. It's changes every day, changes every minute, just depends on my wife's care needs. We can never make any plans, for instance, because that will depend on what her pain levels are like. Obviously, I have to balance. We're all carers and multitaskers. We have to be, you know, so we have to look after the needs of those around us and the immediate family, because the needs of children don't change just because you care for someone.
No, and of course, absolutely. So before your wife became ill, you obviously worked. So what was work?
I'm what they call a heritage conservation scientist. My research is historic plaster, which is pretty boring for most people, but...
But not for you.
Not for me,
that's fine. So since you obviously can't work in that field at the moment, so what keeps you going? Because obviously you need... To keep yourself, don't you?
When you're a carer, you know, you need to get up every day. You can't afford to be... Yes, we get depressed, we get fed up, etc. But you have to just get up and get on with it, because nobody else is there. There's no safety net.
Right. And you were telling me earlier that you went back and filled some of the time studying.
I qualified as a bookkeeper a couple of months ago. But unfortunately, due to the legislation, I can't actually do any work. You know, essentially, the theory is that if you're a carer, you can earn £120 a week. But that's the problem with that is if you're the person you care for gets employment support allowance, every pound that you earn will be taken off you. So there's no incentive to work. And that's I have a very strong work ethic. I'd like to be able to provide more for my family, but I can't. But there are thousands of us out there.
So in the long run, then, you'd either have to be working an awful lot of hours from home and trying to juggle it, or...
Well, I think we worked it out from home. I would need to earn in excess of £45,000 a year, plus commuting, whatever, so call it 50,000 plus, so I could pay for her care needs, and that's never going to happen.
No.
So it's an unachievable aspiration.
Right. You obviously meet lots of carers in what you do. What are some of the very common issues that carers are having to face?
Carers' assessments, or the lack of them, the lack of information getting out. There's no joined-up thinking. So with carers' assessments, I think we discussed earlier, carers' cards. You weren't aware of the carer's card prior to me telling you. So it's always about getting the information out there. A carer's assessment is one that speaks for itself. You know, you have an assessment of your needs. But even that is fraught with difficulty. I've heard of carers being told to do their own carer's assessment, which makes no sense whatsoever. Or being told, you know, you ring the local social services and they say, oh, you know, what do you need? Well, I wouldn't know unless I've had a carer's assessment, you know. There is little out there for us. The only charity in Dorset that deals with carers is Leonardo Trust, which is based at Broadstone, but it's Dorset-wide. And they're specifically there for the needs of the carer. So if you want to do a painting course, you want to go for a break for a couple of days, they will seriously consider that, and they're very, very quick. And it's the only charity I know of that will direct grant to a carer.
Right, because we were talking earlier about all the carers out there that are possibly listening today. Mm. Where can they go for that first bit of help? Because it's not broadly
well,
told,
I think,
is it?
No, I think that's the problem. I mean, in Scotland, as we discussed, they're far more organised. Today there is a carers' parliament. Social Security up there have been talking to carers, invited to ask them about what the issues are, financial restraints. I think we, as English carers, certainly endorse it. The provision of care within rural Dorset is poor at the best. And we need really a focal point where we can talk to each other, we can exchange ideas, reduce sound off, reduce stress levels, etc. And that's what it's all about, because obviously if we don't get the care, if we don't get the help, long-term, resentment builds up, and then problems are created within family dynamics simply because the authorities are not taking any notice.
And, of course, your health is imperative to keep things going. You can't let that slip.
Yeah, if I'm not healthy, then nothing's going to get done.
Are there any carers groups around?
Unfortunately, carers groups tend to be predominantly a competition about whose husband had how many heart bypasses.
Oh, okay.
It's a common knowledge.
Right.
And it works for some, but for males especially, there's no focal point. But I mean, I think generally for carers, it's certainly in Dorset, there is no organised hub. Within Sussex and Kent, there are large charitable groups which have come together. Wiltshire, they've got a big one. I think Wilts Carers, something like that. And they have charitable aims where they have people specifically employed to pay, to listen, to advise, to point in the right direction, tell you where there's grants to be had, therapy, whatever. But here in Dorset, not to my knowledge. In Bournemouth, maybe, but not in rural Dorset.
So, for example, I have become obviously a carer to my little girl,
mm-hmm.
and now I'm half homeschooling her, and I didn't know about carers' assessments,
mm.
I didn't know about the carers' card. If I hadn't been involved with children's social care, I wouldn't even know where to start.
No.
So for most people, especially, perhaps as you say, especially I'd have thought for the men who suddenly have to learn to cook, clean, do all the stuff as well as work, it must be really tough.
I think for men, certainly men of a certain age, I mean, there's a great deal of publicity on young carers, and that's great, mm. and elderly carers, but the men, we amount to, I think there are 7.2 million carers in the UK, of which 1 in 4, or 25%, are men. There is clearly, in big urban areas, there is obviously greater care, and I'm sure there are men's carers groups. But the problem is, of a certain age, you have a strong work ethic, and you become, I think, quite right, quite understandably, you become bitter, resentful. You don't know who to talk to. You get fed up with it, like all men. You don't talk very much anyway. Who are you going to talk to? Nobody understands. So nothing gets done. So we go round and round in circles, So ideally, some kind of carers hub would be fantastic, but whether that ever occurred is another thing entirely.
Absolutely. But say, for example, there's somebody out there listening who is now a carer. Where would you say to them, first of all, to go? Citizens Advice, maybe?
No, I would say Dorset Leonardo Trust, because they have a project manager, office manager. They've just expanded their premises, so there's a drop-in centre. They do pop-up shops all over the county, but they're on the internet, I think leonardotrust.org.
Right.
And they are...
That's
very,
a good starting point.
Yeah, they're very clued up, and they can push you in the right direction.
Right. Mark, that is really helpful. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. that was interesting, I have to say. I mean, having known Mark now for sort of a good couple of years and having met his wife and his family, I mean, it is tough. It is really, really tough for him because she is pretty disabled. Absolutely lovely. And in fact, he's been trying to get a raised border for her sorted, and I think with the help of the garden centres and things, it's gradually coming together now, so she can actually sit with a wheelchair there, which is fantastic. But it's just so tough for him, you know.
It's a very difficult situation, isn't it? Because Mark highlights the plight of so many carers up and down. What did he say? 7 million carers in the UK, and they just do an incredible job, don't they? Mm. And without them, where would society be?
Absolutely.
But they get very little recognition, generally, and not so much support. And it's
we were talking actually earlier about if only the balance between able to do a few hours work without being, you know, restricted financially for it and so on, it would boost self-esteem, it would get people back into the environment they were used to. As he was saying, the work ethic, like for me, is big now, and you can't do it. And it
must be terrible for those that have had a really enjoyable career and find themselves through circumstance having to care for somebody. No issue with that at all. I'm sure that's exactly what they would want to do, but then to be slightly devalued in some way.
Exactly, and losing a bit of your own self, isn't it? And, you know, I've seen people who really go downhill quite quickly themselves because they're getting depressed. As you were saying about being resentful, some of them are just terribly sad. You just feel that you've lost everything you've built up, and it's just, it's wrong. And I just think that is where the health issues for carers come in big time. And we were talking again out there that if only there was a measly £25,000 a year or something to employ somebody to go around and visit carers, make sure they're getting what they need, get them counselling, they can spin off anything from that. That's what's needed. Anyway, right, OK, let's have a look ahead. And in fact, something that actually is quite connected. I went and interviewed somebody this morning who basically is going to do a run on the 10th of November, going to do about 35K all around Sherborne. And anybody in the Sherborne area must look out for the SP Fit jackets because the whole team of them are going to run
this
to support
him.
This is Simon Partridge's group, yes. But anyway, Eric, who's now part of the running club, he's called the Flying Dutchman because he's about my age, a bit older, and he can run, bless him. And anyway, he worked for a long time in places like Nicaragua, for example, where there's no provision for adults with intellectual disability, and they lose all their love and respect. The carers, talking about carers here again, have no support whatsoever. There's just literally nothing. And he got involved with a marvellous project called the RUAC Project. And this provides a home where several families can go and live. It's not a commune or anything like that, but they can just support each other and live together. And basically, it's a safe haven for them. And they get all the support. The carers get the support. The children learn. They've got skills that were hidden before. So anyway, he's doing a run on November the 10th to flag this up. And he can get donations through globalgiving.org/projects. And if you get on that and scroll down, you'll see the RUAC project. And he's agreed actually to come on Charity Corner after Christmas, which will be really nice, because although it's supporting third world countries with all various issues with disabilities, he's hoping to actually get something going over here so we get more support. And on the 10th and 11th of November, there's the Christmas shopping fair at Kingston Moorwood, and that's for Macmillan Cancer Support. So that's two. Both days starting at 10 o'clock. Saturday it finishes at 4, Sunday at 3. So do go along and have a bit of fun there. Apparently there are over 40 stalls and lots of entertainments to do. So, okay.
And there's the Sherborne Festive Shopping Day coming up, isn't there?
We have, and that is on
Sunday the 2nd of December, and it's going to be a riot, as it always
is. It's always a riot.
Well, and hopefully actually, not a literal riot.
No, but it's always good fun. And of course there are always stalls there that are charity based.
Yes.
And us Rotarians are there shaking buckets and things like that. So
and Abby may well put in an appearance, I
should think. Abby 104 will be there in force. Yes. So there you
and,
go.
And that actually will be the day of our next broadcast, won't it? The 2nd
it will.
Of December?
It will.
Our Christmas edition.
Christmas edition.
I'm sure you've got a party planned, Rachel.
Well, absolutely. Oh, well, actually, and I've got to mention this, on the 4th of November, of course, people that have been on Charity Corner and other small charities in the area were all getting together for a free lunch and at the Geranium Trust, the amazing Geranium Trust over at Stoford. And so we will be doing some odd bits of recording there, hopefully, and get that on so people can listen. And that's called networking, which I
Quite
think
right.
charities need to do.
Okay. Yeah. Until next time.
Bye.